This morning, how many of you guys were here this morning? Just real quick. Okay, a couple of you guys. We jumped into the story of Gideon this morning. And it is, as I said this morning, probably one of my favorite stories in all of Scripture. Just because partly of the amazing things that happened to Gideon, but more than anything else, because of the amazing things that God does in this man's life and through this man's life. And the way God steps completely and totally out of the box of human thinking and into his world and expects a man to jump into that world. So I was thinking about it after this morning and just at home this afternoon and just kind of going through different things and thinking through this man Gideon and thinking through what ultimately marks this story as so unique and this man as so unique in the stories that we've gone through. And one of the things that really stepped out for me and jumped out for me in the story is this idea of obedience. Because it is a very interesting concept, obedience, isn't it? Obedience is very, very rarely something that is easy to do. It's just not. It's most of the time, in fact, it's fairly difficult to step into. I take Gideon, for example. I mean, we talked about the story this morning, and we went through kind of the whole thing of Gideon and how God stepped into his life and called him out to start doing certain things. But when you really start boiling down the story and you start looking at Gideon's world, you really do start feeling a little bit of that kind of tinge of really going out on a limb and trusting God in a huge way and in a unique way. I was driving home and Brooke asked Hadley in the car, you know, what did you learn today in the children's ministry? And they happened to go over the story of Gideon as well this morning, which I thought was pretty cool. And so she starts telling me the story, you know? She starts running through it. And she knew more about Gideon than I think I know about Gideon, which was really cool. But she had all the numbers down, you know? She goes, well, you know, Gideon took an army of 23,000 men. 33,000 men, see? Exactly. So Gideon took an army of 33,000 men. 2,000 men. Were you teaching this morning in Sunday school? Look at that. If you guys really want to learn something, go to our children's church, man. Skip this place. I don't even know how many people are in Gideon's army. So 32,000 people head out in Gideon's army, right? And you can imagine, if you were in Gideon's shoes, you can imagine what it must have felt like to take 32,000 men that weren't really fighters at all, that come from a fairly lazy background over the last couple of years in Israel's history. And they were pumped, no doubt, but not necessarily fighters. Can you even imagine God stepping down into that world and saying to Gideon, listen, I just don't want this one to be something that Israel can say, we did it. So what I want you to do is tell everyone that's afraid to go home. Just tell them all that's afraid to go home. And so Gideon says, if you're afraid, go home. Do you guys remember how many people left? They were left with 10,000 men. So you can do the math. 33 minus 10, 23,000 people. 32,000. I'm going to stick with 33,000. I'm just going to stick with that. Because somewhere deep down, I feel like there must have been 33,000. So maybe there were 1,000 men just kind of scattered around, okay? So here's the deal, right? You left with 10,000 men. How many of you guys have ever stood in a place with 10,000 people? Anybody? Most of you, right? I mean, 10,000 people is a pretty big crowd, but you can fit them into a building. You know, I mean, you can get 10,000 people into one place, and although it feels huge, if you're talking about going out and fighting a battle, everything in that scenario is about size. It's man for man, especially in the kind of battle they were doing. You know, it's sword to sword. And unless you had guys that were ready to kill 20 men per guy before they died, if you weren't equaled out, that was real problematic. And now you go down to 10,000 men. And then imagine what it must have been like for God to come down and say, Gideon, here's the deal, man. I want you to take these men down to the river. I want you to do the whole drinking thing. And you know how the story goes, right? Then kneels down and some men take it with their hands and some stick their head in the water. And I can only begin to try and imagine what it must have been like for Gideon when God said, I want you to keep the guys that did the hand thing. And for Gideon to start going, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 300 men. And the other 10,000 minus 300, you can do the math, they take off. They leave. And you're about to face off with one of the greatest masses of savage army that you've probably seen in a long time, and God gives you 300 men. And it's not even just like God went, get out there and muster up everyone you can, and then he mustered up 300 men. He'd collected 32,000. So, I mean, you know, you start with a pretty decent deal, and God weeds it down to 300, and then God says to you, all right, now you're ready to fight. Go get in there and do it. So, you know, I was thinking today about that, and I was thinking about how easy it is for us to read the story, to read about Gideon going, oh, yeah, I'm going to obey God. That's great. But have you ever tried that? I mean, have you ever faced those moments in life where God calls you into obedience in some huge way, and you just look at the whole deal, and you just kind of go, you don't get it, God. I mean, the consequences of me stepping out on the limb for you right now are massive. They're massive consequences. I mean, this changes everything, God. If this doesn't pan out well, it's going to be a disaster. Can you imagine the story? Gideon and his 300 men get slaughtered by the Midianites. I mean, that's really how it should have gone, right? Outside of God stepping in some huge way. And when you step into life, obedience is a call into our lives that is never the easiest thing in the world to do. I think sometimes it's the hardest thing in the world to do, but it's certainly never the easiest thing. I have a really, really good friend, and he always used to say to me, man, I pray all the time that God will never make me an investment banker in Jamaica. I go, why do you pray that? He goes, on the off chance that God makes me an investment banker in Jamaica. You know, you always like, God, please don't make me a missionary in China. And then you end up a missionary in China. So he figured he could manipulate God that way and go, God, I just don't want to be a rich investment banker in Jamaica. See, the problem is obedience never really plays out that way, right? God very, very seldom comes to us and says, listen, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go out, buy several Ferraris for yourself, drive them around. It's going to be fun. I'll provide the cash. And you go, gosh, Lord, that's going to be tough. I like Porsches. You know, it just doesn't pan out that way a lot of times. When God comes into obedience, he calls us into a world that is far, far, far from the world that we feel real comfortable with. And that's what makes obedience so hard out there when we get out there. But at the end of the day, what is so fascinating to me about the story of Gideon is that when God called Gideon, just like when God called Moses, or when God called Abraham, or when God called many, many other people in Scripture, every time a human being stood before God and said, you don't quite get it. I mean, I hear what you're calling me to, but I just don't have those particular skill sets. I just don't have those particular deals. I mean, that's just something I can't do. God would always go, no, I hear you. I know you can't, but I'm really not asking you about you. This is not about you. This is not about what you can and can't do. This is not about your background. This is not about your skill set. This is about me coming to you and saying, I want you to do this. In fact, the very fact that you don't have the skill set is the very reason I'm standing here. When Jesus was on the planet and he stood with the disciples, you know, I mean, you look at those guys and you just go, what a weird pack of idiots God called together. And yet that's exactly what God tends to do. What we tend to forget is that there isn't one single human being on this planet that's a whole lot better than any other single human being. I mean, we do it all the time, right? We compare left and right. I'm not as good as him. He's not as good as me. And we kind of put these. For God, he looks at humanity and he just picks people that have a heart of obedience. And he goes, let's pick that guy. Let's see what he does. Let's pick that girl. Let's see what she does. And so for us, as we sit here and we go out there, ultimately at the end of the day, this world change thing that we want to do, this impact the globe for Christ that we want to see happen, this shape the community that we so desperately desire. I mean, I've heard some of you guys say, man, what an incredible thing it would be to see revival come in mass, where the Spirit of God moves in the land and people discover the love of Christ. We want to see that? Absolutely. You guys are all sitting here right now and you've got some friends. You've got some family members. You love them to death. And they don't know God yet. They don't know Christ at all. And it's tough. Not because you want them converted, because you want them to know the freedom that comes with following God. But to actually do it out there, it's a tough call. But when we're finally able to step out in obedience and say, God, despite myself, I'm going to trust your call on my life, and I'm going to go and do this thing that you call me to, then lives begin to change and things begin to shape. And I was thinking of obedience today. Suzanne, many of you guys know Suzanne, right? Go Suzanne. She was supposed to be back here a couple weeks ago. She's always out of town, bums me out. Suzanne, if you listen to the podcast, get back here, seriously. Done with you being out of town. So Suzanne and Matthias, Matthias is in France. Suzanne's up in the Midwest somewhere, who knows? And Texas, actually, that's where she is. So she calls me up last week, right? And she says, listen, Renaud, I was supposed to come back, but one of the ladies, she works for the State Department, and she kind of does these tours with people that come from different countries. And one of the women came, and there was she had some stomach problems, so they take her into the emergency room. Turns out, massive problems. Goes into surgery. Just, I mean, you can imagine. You're visiting a country for a couple weeks, and now you're suddenly in surgery and all that. So Suzanne decides she's going to stay with this woman in the hospital. She's going to hang out there for a couple days, help her recover. And then she decides, you know, why stay in the hospital? Why not head home with her? Find a place for her to stay. Get her up to some family and get her settled in. And then she finds out her husband, he's back in the country that they come from, and he's trying to get here, and he needs to get a visa, but they can't afford a plane ticket. So she calls and she says, can we do something? And we go, well, of course we can. So we start working toward that, and we get a plane ticket for him, right? So plane ticket comes, and she's being taken care of by Suzanne. All of these things cost Suzanne, cost us, right? Suzanne texts me yesterday, and she goes, hey, got to share the gospel with this woman. She wants an Arabic Bible. She's Muslim. So you're like, really? And I sit there and I just go, what an unbelievable privilege it is for us to have shared in a little story of a woman's life who may very well come to know Christ Jesus as her Savior, set free from a world that she lives in. And who knows what her life is going to become? Who knows who she's going to touch and influence with the love of Jesus Christ? I think of some friends of mine here. You know, I look around this room, and there's several of you guys even here tonight. And I think about what God has done in your life. I joke a lot of the times about how many people I've convinced to move here. People are like, yeah, watch out, Renaud, we'll get you to move here. But you know what? Let me tell you the reality. I've gotten no one to move here. I'm just not that big and strong. I'm just not. Yeah, right. Seriously. But you know what I have watched? I've watched families. I've watched families set everything they've known aside to track on down here, to be part of something they weren't even sure about. And it just amazes me to see that kind of obedience stepping out. I've watched guys, I think of Brody and the guys who were up in Mount Dora and moved down here. Or I see Rachel back there, and Jill's not here, I don't think. But, you know, they walked in and, oh, let's get a house here nearby and move up from Disney. And I think of the people around here that have done that. And then I think bigger scale. I remember when we first came here, and this little, we had nothing, man. I mean, nothing but a little dream. And I remember a conversation with my dear friend Nathan and Deshan, and Nate goes, I'll come help you. And then they knew these two people, Jeff and Lisa. I still can't believe they moved down here because I didn't even know them. It was like a cold call. Hi, Jeff and Lisa, we want to move down. Like, you people are insane. Of course, I didn't say that. I told them what a great idea it would be. They came. I'm still wondering. They're like, their heads are still spinning, I think. But they came, and they've been here ever since. And they've stepped up in obedience, and I've watched what obedience has done in their lives, and it just amazes me. It just blows my mind. Just continues to do that. I remember sitting in L.A. at a table with a friend of mine. He was being wooed by Saddleback, big old church, and they were offering him the world, you know. Well, they hadn't quite done it yet, but it was coming, man. because he's got gifting and talent and anointing, and I just knew I needed him here. So I fly out to LA, and I'm sitting over a nice dinner with him, and I'm like, listen, here's how it plays out. You can go to Saddleback and have a big old salary. Have your dreams come true. They'll give you whatever you want. You can record. You can do it all. Sounds pretty cool. Or you can come with me to Florida, where you got to leave LA. You got to kind of quit what you're doing here. Leave everyone you know. I can't really pay you much. In fact, I probably can't pay you anything. I've got about 3 months worth here. And after that, it's kind of up to God. Not sure what's going to happen. And what I've got for you is a dream. You can be part of something really big about 50 years from now. You'll be old and gray and half dead, but at least you'll be able to look back and say, I was part of something cool. I left there thinking to myself, only a idiot would come when they've got those two scenarios. But I said, God, just this once, would you blind my dear friend Sean from what is good and bring him to us because we need him? And you know what Sean did? Sean stepped back, and who knows what God did in his brain, but Sean said, you know what, Renaud? I think I'm going to come to Florida. And you know, every single Sunday, every Sunday morning, Sean gets up here, every morning. And every Sunday morning, he gets people together that he's brought together over these last few years, people that he's sought out in our church, talent that he's discovered and that he's blossomed. And he brings them up here and he puts them together and he leads us into worship. He's one of the few guys on the planet that can lead me into worship. And that's probably a horrible thing because I should be better than that. But I go other places and I'm like, and then Sean starts playing. I'm like, where am I? Oh my gosh. I think it's heaven. That's awesome. Wow. Seriously, I get lost here in worship because a young man decided a long time ago that obedience, following a call of God on his life, was bigger than opportunity. Must have been a hard and tough call for him to make. Really. I still wonder every now and then if he doesn't look back and go, wonder what it would have been like. But he's here now, part of all this. And it's just an incredible thing every Sunday for me to stand here and go, because Sean chose obedience, we get the privilege of having his gifting lead us to where we need to be. And I start looking around and I realize almost every person that volunteers in this church, almost every person that's on staff in this church, almost every person that's part of this church, you start talking to them and their story in some way incorporates obedience, a stepping out of something into this. And I just go, wow. How hard it must have been. And then I start realizing, you know, part of what makes the dynamic so cool in the people I know, part of what makes me go home every night and just go, God, what did I ever do to get this church? Is because so many here have stepped out into obedience. So many have shaped their lives to be part of something here. And I see the fruit of that labor beginning and the fruit of that labor leading somewhere. And so then I start leaving here and I start asking myself, you know, when I walk out of these doors, every moment of my life, I am called into obedience. Every moment with my wife, with my children, I'm called into obedience. And even today, even this afternoon, I realize the battle that rages inside me, that calls me away from obedience and into selfishness. And then God's calling me back saying, Renaud, I know. 300 men sounds insane, but you've just got to trust me on this one. I know leaving Saddleback for nothing in Florida sounds insane, but just got to trust me on this one. I know leaving Virginia and tracking down to Florida with nothing but a guy on a phone you don't know who has a weird kind of a dream sounds crazy, but just do it. And a piece at a time, God begins to build a world. I know it sounds crazy to stay in the Texas of all places, Texas. Whew. But there's an opportunity there for you. And so it begins. I want you to turn with me real quick to the book of 1 John. Might be 2 John. Hold on 1 second. 2 John. Turn with me to 2 John as we think about the story of Gideon. 2 John is a massive book on page 847. So is 3 John, actually. They're both there. And we're going to go to 2 John chapter 1, because that's the only thing that exists, is 2 John chapter 1. Look at verse 4. Read with me. You ready for this? It has been given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. Now listen carefully. And now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. You ready? I ask that we love one another. Have you guys heard that before? Okay, that's an easy one, right? I mean, it's not easy to do, but it's one we all know. Our calling, we've talked about this as a church, is to get out there and love one another. Why? Because those who love one another, the Bible says they will know that we follow Christ by our love for one another, right? So we all know we're supposed to love one another. That's kind of this big, huge command. But look what he says here. He says in verse 6, and this is love. You ready for this? Brace yourselves. This kind of caught me off guard a little bit. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. Isn't that amazing? As you have heard from the beginning, his command is to walk in love. So look what John does here. He does this. He says this. He goes, listen, folks, the command that Christ gave us was that we are to love above all else. We are to love one another. We are to love. And then John goes, and this is love, that you are to obey or to live in obedience to the commands of God. So how do you love? How do you and I walk out of here and live a life of love? It's not a trick question. We live a life of obedience. We know God's word and we follow it. We learn it and we do it. And when we walk out of here and we live in obedience to God's commands, then we live a life of love. You with me? And then John goes back and says, and you know that God commanded you to live a life of love. So you see what he's doing? He's saying, you got to follow God's commands in order to live a life of love. And the first command you should follow is that God said you should love. And if you're going to love, you should follow his commands. So get out there and follow his commands, including the command that you should love, so that you can follow his commands. And then love. You see, it's no stopping it, is it? There's no end to this. I mean, you can't get away from it. You love, you follow his commands in obedience. You follow his commands in obedience, and he calls us to love. And so the circle continues. But you see, the key here is this, that every great story, every great moment of love that occurred in Scripture, every great moment that shaped a human being or shaped a place or shaped a nation or shaped a church was somebody demonstrating tremendous love. And if you really boil it down, what you're going to find is that that person was living in obedience. That's what was happening. They were living in obedience. This impacts the little things and the big things. R.C. Sproul one time said, until the church becomes holy, we will never see revival. And holiness is being set apart through obedience. And obedience is love, and love is obedience. Isn't that amazing? And so here's the deal. We look at a story like Gideon. We look at a story of people in our very midst, sitting in this very room, that have stepped out in obedience and changed their lives to be part of this. We look at stories of people in our church living out obedience right now. People like Suzanne and many others stepping out and saying, I'm going to do something. I'm going to just do what God's asking me. And out of those stories of obedience are coming stories of love. Out of those stories of obedience are coming life change all over the place. And so I am challenged, folks. I am challenged in the big and the small things to leave this place and to really know God's commands, to really understand God's word, to know what it is he requires. the simple things. And then just to do them. And every time I do them, I know this, that when I obey God's commands, I am loving. And if I'm loving, then I am living in obedience. It's beautiful. And so as we leave this place tonight, if you want to change the world, if you want to be a world changer, then start changing the world by knowing the commands of God and living in obedience to them. This is not that big of a gray thing. Many of us will sit here and say, I mean, Gideon, God came down and he said, Gideon, here I am, go fight with 300. Last time God showed up in my house was a long time ago. Actually, wait, it's never happened. Not like that. Not in a big angel with wings going, roo! You know what's really funny about my house? I'm sure it's true about yours too, about my office too, about this building. I probably have 600 of these laying around. Not this particular one, but you name it, you know. Study Bible for those with a left foot. Study Bible for those who like archaeology. Study Bible for women that are under the age of 12. I mean, you name it these days. You can get Bibles for everything. And every time we see a new one, we buy it. Oh, that one's cool. I need that one. I'm not a 12-year-old girl, but it sounds cool. And so in our house, we have God's Word everywhere. And because it's so available to us, because it's so everywhere, I think we hardly ever read it. God is sitting under your chair right now. Because God's Word states that it is living and active. That it's not words on a page. It's the very voice of God waiting to be heard. The voice of God waiting to crawl into your heart, tell you what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. And so I am challenged to examine my heart and my life and to ask myself, where am I living for Renault? Where am I looking at me and going, psh, where are you? Have you forgotten about me? And where am I going, God, you've called me into obedience. This ain't easy, but I'm doing it. You know, in the big things, you move from places and you change your life and you shape everything. But in the little things, the things that matter most, the way you talk to your spouse or your friends or your enemies, the way you treat your coworkers when they don't treat you well, the way you love your kids when they're driving you insane, the way you love your husband or wife when you feel like they're not loving you the way they should. The way you step out when some stranger needs help, but it's inconvenient because you're in a rush. It's those moments that matter. It's those moments that are the call of obedience to us to say, you know what? Set yourself aside, man. Set yourself aside. This is not about you. This is about me and what I'm calling you to. And it is a challenge, folks. It's not easy. I don't find it easy at all. I find it hard because it's about me a lot. But it's not the way God called us to. God called us to obey because obedience is love, and God called us to love. And I hope as we leave this place that maybe this week, as you think about the story of Gideon, as you think about a man who obeyed despite all odds, I want you to think about something else. I want you to think about how many times your life has been impacted by somebody's obedience. Will you do that for me? In fact, start doing it right now. Just sit there right now and think to yourself, how many times has my life been impacted significantly because of somebody else's obedience? And I want you to jot some of those names down. Jot some of those people down that you remember. Wow. Then look at their lives and then ask yourself, how many stories have I been a part of because of my obedience? Jot some of those down. Remember those stories. Remember what it was like to be part of those stories. And then here's the deal. You ready for this? I want you to make a third list this week sometime, tonight maybe. I want you to make a list of all of the stories that exist around you right now that God has laid before you, that you could be a part of if you just took the time to step into those worlds. Every one of those stories will cost you something. Every one of them. Every story. But ask yourself, what story can I be part of that would be a step of obedience, but would take me into love? Because if we want to be Gideons, men and women that change the planet for the sake of Christ, then we will have to live in obedience. Because the only way to love is through obedience. And the only way to obey is if we love. So let's run out there and become men and women of obedience. Sorry, tonight's a little more introspective and reflective. I know it's a little quiet in here, and I look at all of you guys and I'm like, I'm just amazed that you're awake. I really am. I'm always amazed at that when I'm up here on Sunday nights. But I hope tonight that as you leave here, you won't forget to make those lists. You won't forget to build some altars for yourself on the obedience of others and your obedience and the stories it's led to, and then start building some opportunities of areas you can obey in unique ways. Let's get out there and love people through obedience and see what it does. That would be incredible. So tonight, I want to do one last thing before I let you guys get out of here and we go into some extended worship. We're doing extended worship tonight, right? I really, part of what drove me tonight to thinking about this message in particular of obedience, this calling of obedience, was honestly started kind of thinking about Gideon and his obedience, but then immediately it jumped into the obedience of some of my dearest friends. And I just remember thinking about some of the people in this room tonight, some of the ones that I've mentioned. And on that list, just as far as personal major impact that my life has been shaped by through obedience, there are a few human beings on this planet that through their obedience have shaped my life significantly. And many of them exist now in this building and in this church, which is pretty extraordinary. Most of them I get to work with every day. Some of them I get to see on announcement videos, for instance, and things like that. But above that list, I think a man that has just on a continual basis impacted my life in significant ways and made me a far, far better man than I've been is my dear friend Sean. And today is a very special day for Sean because Sean is one day older today than he was yesterday, just like all of you, except this happens to be the day in the year that we celebrate the entire year that he has grown through. And this has been a year that I have shared with him that has been so fun and so awesome. We've gone through some tough years, but this has not been a tough one. This has been a great one, a year of emerging dreams. So I just want you guys to know, not only do I love this man and love his obedience and love that he's impacted my life, but I love that it's his birthday today. And Jeff, would you take it away? Happy birthday, Sean. We love you, man. Thanks for being part of our lives. It's awesome to have you here. You guys, every one of you have been given unique and special things by God to impact this planet. You are not on this planet by accident. And God is calling you into obedience so that you can live in that extraordinary life. Don't let that go. Don't miss that opportunity. Live in that obedience. And through that obedience will lead to great love. And through that love will lead to great change. And through that change will lead to great revival. And through that revival will lead to the world in a way that we want to see it. A world where God's love is evident everywhere. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you so much for this night. We thank you for all that you've done and for all the ways that you've loved us through others, for all of the people in our lives that through their obedience have led us to a place where our lives have changed. I thank you especially tonight for all of my friends, for those who have shaped and changed their lives to be part of this group, for those that have moved here, for those that have on a huge step of faith, been part of this church when we were an infant, for those who believed in vision long before there was any signs of it becoming reality, for those that have stepped in recently and have brought their gifts and their talents to the table, for those that are part of leading us into the dream that you have for us. And I thank you for the many that have obeyed, the many that have stood up and despite the difficulty, stepped out in faith. I thank you for the stories of Gideons in this room and in this church. And I pray, God, that you would lead us out of these doors, that you would lead us into obedience, no matter how hard, no matter how tough, no matter how out of our box obedience will seem. Doesn't even matter, God, if you take 32,000 men in our army and you weed it down to 300 and then send us out to the masses. We pray that you would empower us to go without question and to simply do what you ask us to do. To ignore whether we have the resources, to ignore whether we have the energy, to ignore whether we have the desire, but to simply trust that if you're calling us into it, then you know what you're doing. And to obey. May you teach us your word. May we learn it, memorize it. May it become part of our hearts. And may we live by it as it leads us into freedom. We thank you for your incredible love for us. We thank you for this place. And tonight, I thank you for my friend Sean, who has once again spent a year with us, sharing with us the gifting that you've given him. Would you bless this year for him? Would you bless his marriage? Would you bless his ministry? Would you bless his life? Would you walk him into dreams that he can't even begin to imagine? We thank you for him and for all that he means to us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name.